playoffs. Yeah, NBA Strayer. How you going, playoffs? All right. It's NBA Strayer. It's Monday, August 17. I am your host. Very excited. James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever wants to grease these palms with that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios with a life-size deli cutout behind my shoulder, hanging out, letting you know who's doing what, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA. Orlando Bubbles, we get ready for playoffs! Playoffs. Bring them wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you. That's what we do here, repping Strayer as well. It's NBA Strayer after all. The NBA playoffs start tomorrow. Are you as excited as I am? Because I am. I mean, we got the, you know, got a bit of Dame time over the weekend. That was pretty fun. But now we've got all the playoff matchups good to go, all set. We're going to preview all of them today, as well as wrap the weekend's games, including an utterly insanely fun play-in game. Playoffs. As well as the weekend winners and losers quickly, which will be fun. There's the, you know, a bit of a that's not an iPhone, mate. No, mate. Spud of the night. Pantsing of the evening. Better than Lonzo Ball. And because it's Monday, dickhead of the weekend. Of course, there's yeah, nahs. There's the unpopular opinion of the day. Outback Takehouse with a flame grill take. It's a good one today, too. A quick Australian player watching. Because, again, it is Monday. There's an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. Nice. Unreal. And yeah, we're going to close out with a pick and preview for all of the playoff games tomorrow. The first round kicks off. Can't wait. That's going to be brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go there for all your betting needs. And we'll finish off today's show with a new deli review. Unreal. Can't bloody wait. This is fun. The NBA playoffs are here. Big show. NBA Australia episode 460. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Better watch out for the CJ attack for the Grizzlies. How good was that? Anyway, here we are. It's NBA Australia. It's time for the playoffs. Are you excited? I'm absolutely over the moon, but we are going to start today's show where we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right. A bit of news before we get stuck in. A lot of news. Got a lot of firings, a lot of stepping downs. Pretty fun stuff. But first off the bat, we had some MVP, coach of the bubble, all bubble teams announced, which was pretty fun. Look, pretty, you know, obvious sort of stuff. MVP was Dame. Coach is Monty Williams, all bubble team. I'm pretty sure we predicted it all the other day. Turns out there was no position, so it was Booker, Dame, Harden, TJ, Warren, and Luka. And then the second team was Giannis, Kawhi. Yay! The Extreme Zinger Meal.
The Extreme Zinger Meal.
And QAnon, Michael Porter Jr., as well as my sweet baby carrots, LeVert. Nice. Good stuff. There you go. All right, other news, though. Coming out of the bubble, obviously the Blazers win the play-in game against the Memphis Grizzlies, the first one. Yusuf Nurkic out there just before the game. It was announced that his grandma had died of COVID-19. Bloody hell. Prayers up to the Bosnian bear and his, you know, beloved grandma. That's really sad. In other sad news, if you like having a job and your name's Jim Boylan, you got shit canned by Chicago. Every Chicago fan literally rejoicing. Just like, yes, who fucking thought he was doing a good job? No one. So the new bloke in charge there in Chicago finally got out the dustpan, chucked him in it and went, see ya, on your bike. Fuck you, you egg-headed dipshit. Jim Boylan, fired by Chicago and counter service. Love that shit. We'll talk about who should replace him later. Alvin Gentry as well, fired by New Orleans, the Pelicans. Turns out he was a Pelican't. Can't get them into the playoffs. Look, I've mentioned before, I love Alvin Gentry. Think he's awesome, but that was a tough one. They did not look good in the bubble, did the Pelicans. And other firings, Vlade Divac and his assistant GM, Peja Stojakovic, have left the Sacramento Kings, leaving behind just an ungodly mess and Joe Dumars in charge. That's right, Joe Dumars was brought in about a year ago as a consultant to the Kings, as if that wasn't writing enough on the wall. And now he's in charge after the fucking ungodly mess he left Detroit in? Here we go. Unreal. Pretty funny stuff. Pretty wild stuff. I love that Vlade is just like, yes, well, the fuck did pretty bad. What can say? Vlade, go by now. See ya. Goodbye. Nice. And Ja Morant also announced after the Grizzlies got knocked out that he was playing with a broken thumb for 4 games. And also tweeted out Warrior about himself. All right. Cool. I should also start tweeting out Big Dick about myself. If that's how we're playing it, Ja. If that's how we go. But also, obviously, the big news. We also got Mike Conley buggering off for the Utah Jazz. Because his wife had a baby. Oh, isn't that nice? Elijah. Very cute baby, Mike. Good job. Jingles was tweeting out, you know, his appreciation of that. So is Rudy Gobert's and stuff what they were. All supporting their teammate and his new baby. So that's pretty cool. Good job. But on top of that, obviously, huge, huge, huge game on Saturday between the Portland Trail Blazers and the Memphis Grizzlies. That was the play-in game. And it was fucking great fun, wasn't it? Yes, Jimmy, it was. It was great fun. But before that, we'll quickly fly through some of the dead rubbers from Saturday. We had what? Toronto beat Denver, 117-109. Whatever. A couple of starters played out there, but the rest was scrub action. Miami lost to Indy, 109-92. Udonis Haslem got out there and started. Bit of Miami grit. Unreal. Good to see Dougie McBuckets fill it up as well. 23 points for him. OKC lost to the Clippers in overtime, 107-103. Wild game. No Paul George and Kawhi. Yay! For the Clips. Only a few minutes for some of the starters there for OKC as well. Hamidou Diallo had 27-11. Nice. But anyway. The Terrence Mann, second round pick for the Clips, almost had a triple-double in this game too. 25 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. He was bloody great. Tell you what. Jesus, not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. But what else? And then there's one other game. There was Philly kicking the shit out of Houston, 134-96. Sixers played everyone just a little bit, considering they've been so up and down in the bubble. Three quarters for their starters, just to sort of get everyone into a bit of rhythm without Big Simo and with Embiid back. Looked okay in this game, 14-6. Recovered from his ankle and his wrist, but Jesus, bugger ever not fucking hurt. Anyway, but the big one was obviously Grizzlies-Portland, 126. Portland win it over the Grizzlies, 122. Portland, wild game. They jumped out, what, 16-point lead in the first quarter? Then they try the weird tactic of not scoring and losing the lead with about, like, a couple minutes into the second quarter. Just amazing stuff from Portland. Just a real shitting in the bed. And you're like, what the fuck is Portland doing? But they steadied. They're up 6 at the half. It was the battle of the big fellas in the first half, wasn't it? 15-17 for Nurk. My name is Jonas Valanciunas. Went hammer and tongs at each other as well. But, you know, they got up 8 early in the third quarter to the Blazers. They had Wendy and Gabriel out there instead of Zachy Cakes. Just bought my first Subaru Forester. Collins in the third after he tweaked his ankle. Looked right on the bench, though, jumping around. Happy days. But Memphis just went, nah, fuck yous. Got up 6. Dylan Brooks is hitting insane shots. They got it up to 8 points up in the fourth quarter. And everyone's like, oh, shit. And the Blazers once more, after nearly crapping the bed against Brooklyn the previous game and missing out on the playoffs altogether, here they are down 8 in the fourth quarter, the Memphis Grizzlies. Because Ja Morant's kicking ass. Dylan Brooks is smashing it. But the Blazers just worked him in the fourth quarter. CJ was crushing it. Dame got going a little bit. But CJ, just that run that he had at the end was absolutely fucking wild. A couple of threes, a big mid-range jumper. Melo hits a dagger, finally. Great pass from Dame. Bang, goes in. But at the end of it was just still, you know, you never got a chance if you're a Blazer fan to even really just chill at the end. Dylan Brooks hit another three with fuck all time left. Gary Trent Jr. hits one free throw. Melo gets the tapped out missed free throw. Then Ja hits another three right at the very death. But again, another free throw done. Blazers win. Crazy game. It's been like that all bubble though. So it's felt kind of fitting, didn't it? We couldn't have a playing game where they just got shit pumped. There's only been like 5 or 6 like really, you know, pretty horrible games. And most of them were Magic or Wizards games. Actually, to be honest, take the Magic and Wizards out of this. And a lot of the bubble games were fucking bang on. So that was great. Grizz had 18 turnovers in this to finish off their season. Jar was incredible. 35 points, 8 assists, 8 turnovers. Dylan Moef and Brooks, 20 points and 7 of 18 shooting. 4 of 5 from downtown, though. My name is Jonas Valanciunas. 22 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists. Comes on the back of his first ever triple-double and he had 12 assists. Call him My Name is Jonas Magic Johnson Valanciunas. Jesus! Even slow-mo Kyle Anderson got in there as well. 10, 6, and 9 for him. But for the Grizz, it was Brandon Clark off the bench who went absolutely fucking ham, hitting threes. He went 4 of 5 from deep, 8 of 11 shooting overall, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. But every fucking team in the NBA draft basically went, nah, Luke, we're not entirely sure if he's going to be good. Where'd he go? Pick 20? Get the fuck out of here. Whereas the rest of the bench for the Grizz, not great. Gorgie Dang. Grayson Allen. DeAndre Melton. 3-9 combined. Not great. What are y'all doing? Blazers Dame had a dunk on Jonas in the third quarter that just made me nearly fall off the fucking couch. 31-10 for him. CJ McCollum, though, with his giant fucking man stones. 29 points in the end. 11 of 19 shooting. 3-7 from deep. 1 assist. 3 rebounds. Absolutely incredible shot making at the end. CJ, what a fucking baller. He's got a broken back. Incredible. Nurk ends up with 22 and 21. Let's go with 6 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He was fucking gassed by the third quarter, but he was out there putting on a clinic. Melo, is it me you're looking for? Carmelo Anthony. Did all right too. Only hit 1 3 out of his 6 attempts, but geez, was it a big one. That was the absolute dagger, that Melo 3. He ends up with 21 points and 5 of 15 shooting. What a wild game it was for Melo. They got just enough from the bench as well. Gary Terrence Trent Darby had 8 points and 5 steals. Wenyan, with his amazing defense, went 1-on-1 from deep. 5 points for the Super Mario. How good's that? Love that. But anytime you're playing Super Mario Hazonia, you know you're in trouble. That's what the Blazers were. But still, great season for Memphis. Comes to an end. I had them or Charlotte, I think, pegged for the worst record. And yeah, they were both substantially better than that. Whoops. And Portland go through to the number 8 seed to take on the Lakers. Good stuff. All right, let's quickly do an NBA Australia Approved performance of the weekend with this in mind.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Brokeback McCollum. Whoa, CJ. Those 3-pointers down the stretch were just fucking incredible. And then bang, hits the long 2 over Jar to give him a 6-point lead. Had 14 points in the quarters, running back down the end of the court, screaming out, he can't fucking guard me. Bang, on your mic, Bream. I did enjoy that. Was it Cassidy Hubbard after the game? CJ, after the game, you said, they can't guard me. And CJ replied, no, that's not what I said. What did I say? Reporter, she said, You said they can't fucking guard me. That's 100% right, CJ. They couldn't fucking guard you. Good job. What a game, though. Just put his balls on the line. And this is the cool thing about the Blazers, right? If it's not Dame, he only had 31 and 10. But CJ stepped up next to him and just goes, right, fuck it. I'll be good. 29 points, 11 of 19 shooting, 3-7 from deep. What a gun. He's got a broken bone in his back. What more can you ask? That is unreal. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
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 Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? Look, you give this to Ja Morant for the Warrior tweet. Anytime you got to tweet out how much of a warrior you are, you've got to do it. But still, I'm going to give this to Grayson Allen because he got the Austin Rivers rule. He got a foul caught on him by Tony Brothers. It was all ball. It wasn't even really close to him, but you get that foul caught on you because you're Grayson Allen. And guess what? 100% deserved, because fuck you, Grayson Allen. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
Magruder! 2 of 11 in 51 minutes for the Miami. Oh, no. He's now on the Clippers. What am I doing? In the OT. Magruder! That was pretty rough. Andre Roberson, he's back, baby. 1 of 9 from the floor. 0 of 6 from 3. Never change, Andre. I love it.
looking forward to some good playoff spuds in the night too. Panting of the night. Ja Morant maybe with the Warrior tweet. I don't know if he was meant to do that from his burner account, but he did it from his main account. But panting of the night is just the Kings in general, isn't it? The Sacramento Kings. They go to the bubble with, you know, a bit of an outside chance to make the top eight, and they shit the bed. They shit the bed. They looked horrible. They never really looked like there were much of a chance. The team looked like they fucking hated each other. Buddy Hield's out there talking shit. Just nothing clicking. And then at the end, Vlade goes, yeah, you know what? I fuck up team enough. I'm going back home. Okay, see you, Vlade. That was great. So just what a pants. And then Paye goes, and they've got Joe Dumars in charge. It's definitely like getting up in front of the entire school to sing like the fucking, I don't know, anthem and getting pants. Just tough scenes. Tough scenes. But still, who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody as long as everybody enjoys a nice long offseason where people can continue blowing smoke up your ass. But while, you know, they're drafting your little brother. Good job, Lonzo. Absolutely horrible in the bubble. Terrence Mann, as mentioned, second round pick for the Clippers was awesome. And almost a triple-double, 25 points, 8 of 12 shooting, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. Terrence, man, you are better than Lonzo Ball. Who was our dickhead of the weekend, though?
Dickhead of the week!
Two-prong one, the ABC crew for the play-in game. I don't know how we didn't get a fucking replay of Dame absolutely killing Jonas Valanciunas in the third quarter. Instead, we have 5 minutes of fucking watching Nurk go to sit on the bench. What the fuck was that about? But then a part of that same broadcast, Mark Jackson, it's like a verbal tick at this point, isn't it? It's like anyone does anything. It's like, gotta give him credit. Gotta give him credit. Gotta give him credit. You got to give that man some credit. You gotta give the team some credit. Mark, we get it. Shut the fuck up. We're giving him credit. No one's not giving them credit, Mark. How does Mike Breen not just go, Mark, would you fucking stop it with the credit? Jesus. You think it shits me? Yeah. Anyway, weekend winners.
Oh my god. I won!
Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is
me. Ken Brockman. We get a shot of me?
Can we get a shot of me?
Yeah, there you go. Weekend winners are the Portland Trailblazers, obviously. They win the game against the Grizzlies, so they're literally and figuratively winners. But getting the eighth seed was pretty crazy, right? Just think about the two games that they win. They try to shit the bed as hard as they possibly could. These are the Western Conference finalists from last year, lose two of their best players. They have no fucking wing rotation. They're playing bloody Super Mario as much as they possibly can. Wenyan Gabriel is out there as a fucking key cog in their rotation all of a sudden, and his defense is pretty bloody good. But at the same time, you've got no Rodney Spud Hood. You've got no Trevor Ariza. You're out there, cupboard is bare, Melo dropping in threes, get the big win, CJ goes off, get to the fucking playoffs, I'm going to take on the Lakers, love it, good job Portland, weekend winners, happy, oh, I'm just stoked on that too, talk about that in the playoff preview. Chicago weekend winners, they fired Jim Boylan because anything is fucking better than old work pale Spud Boylan. Oh, you got to punch in on the punch in clock. Yeah, good one Jim, good one. Sacramento weekend winners. Now the process of healing can begin. Vlade Divac is a weekend winner as well. He said he'd quit in 2 years if they weren't better than they were when they made the boogie trade, and they were just. Didn't make the playoffs though. Then he got an extension through to 2023. So he's now out there getting paid to do nothing, which, I mean, obviously is pretty much what's been happening so far from the looks of things. But now he doesn't even have to pretend. Like, I love that. Like, just imagine, like, someone walks through his eyes, see, computer is open. Yeah, Vlade, that's not on. How you know Vlade, computer not on? Well, there's nothing on the screen. Maybe it's just asleep. Vlade, how many times do you reckon Vlade's turned on his laptop in the last 4 years? Like 5 times? Oh, I love it. Good job. Weekend winners, Memphis. But Jimmy, they lost. Yep. But also the fact that their year ended with them fighting tooth and nail for the playoffs is just fucking huge for them, isn't it? Like, they'll probably be an inevitable setback team next year, I reckon. out of nowhere just because they outstripped expectations so much this year. There'll be a little bit of a regression. But at the same time, Ja, Dylan, Triple J, they can get rolling. Who knows? But they can feel proud of themselves from this year. That was awesome. They're winners. Easy. Ty Lue's a weekend winner. So is Jay Kidd, Jacques Vaughn. All these coaching spots that have been opening up means some new jobs. So they're all pretty happy. And Mark Jackson, I just called him Dickhead of the Week. But also, despite being a horrible coach, because he's on tally, every time someone gets fired as a coach, his name comes up, despite there being very little evidence that he'd be any fucking good. That's a win. Good on you, Mark. You dickhead. What about weekend losers, though? Oh, geez.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys. Shut up.
Losers.
Loser. Loser. Oh, Alvin Gentry, great bloke. Never got a run of good luck at all in New Orleans. Like, you turn around, Anthony Davis will be injured. You get a little bit of a nice run with AD and Boogie. Boogie goes down. You get Zion after you fucking sit through the goddamn shit show of Anthony Davis being a complete fuck knuckle and eventually demanding a trade to go fucking hang out with his best bum chum LeBron. And then you get Zion, then Zion gets injured. And then your blokes rock up to the fucking bubble, play like shit, and you get fired. Tough scenes. Tough scenes. Jimmy, you just said Sacramento weekend winners. How can they be weekend losers? Well, they're also the owners of the second longest streak of no playoffs in NBA history, and just they're an exercise in futility. I don't know at what point we're going to turn around and go, well, was it a good idea that we kept Sacramento in Sacramento? Should have just moved them to Seattle. Just saying. Just saying. But at the same time, I don't want a market to lose a team like I lost my beloved Seattle Supersonics. I want an expansion team. Sacramento can be happily mired in mediocrity for the rest of time. I don't give a fuck. But still, losers. I love it. They're like, oh, look, we're going to give Luke Walton and Vlade the same extensions, 4 years extensions. So we're going to be on the same timetable. And then Vlade goes, nah, I don't like this anymore. I've already drafted Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic. Fuck you guys. See ya. Oh, geez. Anyway, other weekend losers, Brett Brown. Look, I think these things come in waves. Everyone else is firing their coach. So it's not going to be very hard, I think, for Philly to pull the pin. I love Brett Brown. I think he's awesome. There's some good candidates out there as well. But once other teams have already taken that first big plunge, it makes it a lot easier for other teams to go, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're fired. And weekend losers, Jim Boylan. I mean, do you really reckon he's going to get another job anytime soon? Yeah, fuck you, egghead. What a dipshit. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back with the preview for all the playoff series right after Creaky.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Playoffs, 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 playoffs. Been excited. Can you tell? Let's do an NBA Australia preview for some of these, all of the first round matchup, shall we? We're going to do three thoughts and a prediction for each of them. Let's start in the East. I always start in the East. It's because it's E before W. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, number one, take on number eight. That's Milwaukee. It's Algonquin for the good land. Taking on the Orlando Magics down there in the Magic Kingdom. At home, basically. Three thoughts for this one. Orlando are fucking toast, number one, which is a really huge shame because, look, going in and after their first game in a bit, it was obvious they could be a fucking problem, a bit of a smoky, a bit of a upset threat, I thought, especially if they were going to go up against maybe Toronto. Then Johnny Isaac goes down. Azza Air Gordon goes down with his, quad. T-Ross is also out as well. Three of their four best players gone, and they're toast, so... Number two, this actually gives the Bucks a bit of a chance to hone their craft, I think, and figure out their best nine guys. Paddy C, Paddy Connaughton, the Big Ragu, Dante DiVincenzo, Sterling Brown, the rest of the dudes on the fringes of the Milwaukee rotation on the bench, etc. They'll get a nice workout, I think, against Orlando, and it's really good for Milwaukee because you know that you can trust Giannis, trust Mido, trust Georgie Boy Hill. But also it gives Bledsoe a chance to get back into game shape and maybe, just maybe, kick his playoff nerves to the curb against a shitty Orlando Magic team. So that's good. And third, there's no one on this team who can slow Giannis down without Isaac and Azaire Gordon hobbled. That's really good. So Milwaukee, the prediction is Bucks in four. Boom. Done. I think Milwaukee will have zero problems with the Orlando Magic. Yeah, no hassles. All right, number two versus number seven. That's Toronto versus Brooklyn. Reminds me of 2014. Baby, Paul Pierce hitting the game winner in game seven. Well, me and old mate were sitting in the pub shit-faced at like fucking 2 in the afternoon watching it. Because I don't think we could actually get on the telly at home. So we're in the sports bar around the corner. Fucking smashing Bloody Marys and then beers and a couple of wings. Old mate was on the wings. I had the veggie burger. It's fucking great. Fucking love that pub. Anyway, 2014 Redux. But the story of this one has been, so far, number one, the thought is how Brooklyn have been thought of to be awesome in this bubble is about 95% to do with teams going, eh, it's only Brooklyn. You know? it's tough, but that's 100% what's been happening. All the teams have looked at them going, ah, it's just Brooklyn. And Brooklyn are like, okay, and snuck up on teams. They are missing, what, 6 of their best 9 players? Kyrie, KD, Spencel, DJ, Torian the Red Bull Prince, Wilson, Chandler, Jamal Crawford, still old as fuck as well. But yeah, this will be the series where the opposition actually take the Nets seriously and they will fight gamely, sure. But the lack of top-end talent, I think, will come murderously home to roost. And it'll be a tough one for Brooklyn. So number two, Lowry and Gasol will absolutely smash the shit out of Brooklyn. In terms of point guard defense, Brooklyn have fuck all. Gasol will school Jared Allen. And the only big matchup here, I think, will Pascal Siakam versus my sweet baby Caris LeVert. Or maybe Fred VanVleet, the fighting VanVleets versus Caris. That's going to be sweet, though. Let's see Caris go hammer and tongs with some of the best and prove that he belongs next to KD and Kyrie next year. Love it. The prediction, however, wraps in four. Boston take on Philly in the 3-6 matchup. Number one thought, I said this the other day, that this is probably the best matchup for Philly, to be honest, and it still is. The size of Philly, even without Simo, is going to be a problem for Boston. Embiid and Horford versus Danny Tice, Enes the Penis Cantor, and Time Lord Bob Williams. Yikes. Number two, the flip side of that is, without Simo, Philly have got one less insanely good perimeter defender to try and slow down the glut of Boston wings, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and co. Now you've got Tobias Harris, Josh Richo, Richardson, and Matty T. Aussie Matty T, Matisse Thybulle. He's going to have to move in the starting lineup, which, you know, you've still got to cover Kemba. Tricky, tricky, tricky stuff. And the clincher on this is number three, Brad Stevens versus Brett Brown. Now, if there was ever a fucking series that'd save a coach's job, if Brett Brown can outcoach Brad Stevens, might save his job. Unfortunately, my prediction is Boston in five. Brett Brown gets outcoached to fuck and gets shit canned. Tough scenes, tough scenes. Number four versus number five, Miami versus Indy. I mentioned this the other day. It's going to be full on. I love it. Number one, the thought of this is it's going to be a shining elevator hallway level bloodbath. I love it. You've got Butts, Bam, Goran the Flog, Dragic, Tyler, there goes my hero, Dunkey Robinson, Kendrick Lamar, Nunn, all going up against Victor Oladipo, TJ Bubble, MJ Warren, El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, Miles Turner, the Holidays, the other TJs. It's two very deep rosters with lots of perimeter playmaking, a lot of shooting, a lot of talent, a couple of rangy ass centers. Give me all of it. I'm excited by this. I think it's going to be fun as shit. Jimmy Butts, number two, Jimmy Butts reckons he and TJ, Bubble MJ is over because Jimmy Butts shut him down. I don't know about that, Butts. I love a good head-to-head rivalry. This would be fucking sick. Butts can be like, oh, no, man, we beat him. It's like, now you've got to play him in the fucking playoffs, Jimmy. This matters, dickhead. This is when it's going to really matter. But number three, that said, without the Souvlaki King, DeMarta Sabonis, Indy just don't have enough firepower to keep up, I think. Miami in six is the prediction. I think this will be a really, really, really fun, awesome series. So give me Miami in six, though. I don't think we get a lower seed upset at all in the East or in the West. Oh, no, we get one in the West, yeah. Anyway, I'll get to that. So number one in the West. Let's do it. West. Got the Lakers versus Blazers. 1-8. Awesome. My three thoughts on this. Love it. The backcourt scoring the Blazers versus the Mammoth. LA front line of LeBron, AD, and the two-headed center front line, Dwight McGee of the Lakers. Can either stop the other, though? This is the number two thought. Whoever can will win, and it'll be the Lakers. But still, it's going to be fun. Playoff Dame time. Eastern Standard Dame time. Who on the Lakers are you trusting to slow down Dame and CJ? Nobody. Without Bradley, Rondo's still working his way back. Even then, do you trust Rondo to slow down Dame or CJ? Fuck no. So we're going to get a lot of Caruso. Going to get a lot of JR, Dion. Oof. It's going to be rough, I'll tell you. But, you know, CJ, Dame, Nurk, Melo. It'll be fun. It just won't be quite enough. And we get Melo LeBron in the playoffs. That's going to be fucking great. I can't wait. Never happened in Denver. OKC, Houston. Get it now. This is good. Can't wait. Melo versus LeBron. Couple of 2003 draft mates. Longtime friends have gone at it. Ever and ever and ever. Now we get it. 1-8. It's going to be fun. Unfortunately, the prediction is Lakers in 5. I just don't think the Blazers will be able to slow down LeBron at all. And there's just going to be enough top-line talent for the Lakers to smash the Blazers. Their defense for the Blazers is not great, even with Nurk out there. And look, Nurk and Collins, you might think that they'd be okay against the AD, Dwight, McGee, etc. I just don't see it. So Lakers in 5. 2-7 is Clippers, Dallas. Three thoughts on this. Luka and the Extreme Zinger Meal. Bring it the fuck on. Extreme Zinger, or is he a Supercharged Zinger Burger?
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
We'll find out, I guess, against Paul George and Kawhi. Look, it seems awesome on paper, but the Mavs really lack a reliable third guy. Everyone's like, oh, Tim Hardaway the Lesser. Yeah, look, fuck his hot/freezing cold routine. I don't think that's going to cut it. The Clips just got Trez and Lou Will back. So you've got two very deep teams, but one that's got a much higher level of top-end talent and a much higher ceiling. Look, the Mavs, they've got one of the best offenses of all time. If not, I think it might have been rated the best offense of all time. But if you're going to play against Paul George and Kawhi for 7 games, I don't really think your offense is going to be hitting those high levels game in, game out, you know? So if they had some sort of reliable third scorer, reliable being the key operative word here. Hardaway the Lesser just isn't quite it. Seth the shit one Curry isn't quite it. Maybe. If they had Dwight Powell out there to be sort of, you know, give them another extra look to go with Maxi Kleber, hello. And Dorial Finney-Smith, but just not quite enough. The thing is, number two, could a massive series for the Extreme Zinger Meal, help tip the balance? Because, like, you figure Paul George and Kawhi and Co. can slow down Luka. So if this supercharged Zinger Burger, can really just step up into proper fuck you superstardom next to Luka, it'd be a huge bonus for the Mavs. If he can go out there and dominate, start tossing around some assists, getting some blocks, dropping in threes, being a defensive menace as well as an offensive menace, if Zinger could do that, that'd be a big problem for the Clips, who've got Zoobs and Trez to throw out there. Maybe a bit of Joakim Noah. I just don't see it happening, though. That's the tough part. Because, number three, it really does feel like the Clips have answers to pretty much everything the Mavs can throw at them. So, look, as promising as this series might look and might feel, I reckon it'll actually be a bit of a fizzler. The Mavs feel like a team that cops a punch in the mouth this year, this season. You know, the good team that has to lose at some point and then bounces back the next year and kicks some ass and takes some names. I think this is the year for the Mavs where they cop the tough loss and come back the next year and start really putting it together. So I'm going to take the Clippers in 5. Might be a little bit tough, but I think that's what's going to happen. 3-6 is Nuggets, Utah, the altitude series. The Jazz are going to struggle, though. Number one, without Mike Conley for at least a little while, it's going to be fair chunk of time by the time he gets back in quarantines. The Nuggets have just got so many weapons to be out there without Ed Davis and now without Mike Conley, the Yaz. Tough scenes, mate. Tough scenes. Yoka, Jamal, MPJ. The Yaz are just out there going, oh, fuck, we've got Donnie Mitchell. Leads me to number two. Should they just play Jingles at the point? Fuck, may as well. Donnie Mitchell, Ingles, Jordan, Jeremy Clarkson. I mean, it's going to be tough for the Yaz to have a pretty coherent offense right against the Nuggets, who looked very, very good since Jam and Jamal came back. I can't really rate Utah. Because Gobert versus Jokic is a real thing too. It's a proper real grudge match as well. Jokic got tanned by Gobert last year. Now he's taking it personally every game since and fucking kicked ass and taken names. So I think Jokic comes close to averaging a triple-double on Gobert just to prove a fucking point. And Gobert, copping off a pretty rough season. The Corona Man. And the Nuggets win it in five. There's the prediction. And 4-5, Houston OKC. This is going to be an absolute rip-snorter. Rusty and Harden against CP3. Two teams that do not like each other because half the team used to be on the other team and the vice versa. Rusty's absence hurts, though. First couple of games, probably. If only to make OKC's defenders work way harder and keep their heads on a swivel. Now they can probably just key in on the usual Rockets, Harden, then everyone else offense. Makes it a lot more predictable. A lot easier to combat, I think, for OKC as well. Whereas Houston, look, we know that they can fire it up, but really, without Rusty as an extra level threat, I really think this is a problem. Because number two, CP3 is going to want revenge so fucking bad, and I, for one, cannot wait to see him punch Austin Rivers in the dick. It's going to be good. And number three, Harden against all the perimeter defenders on OKC with CP3, Shai, Roberson, if Dort's good to go. Look, if he only averages 27 a game, the Rockets are fucked. And look, I think OKC win this. I think they win in six. I reckon it's a fun series, a tough series, but Houston just... Eric Gordon's a little bit off, and Rusty misses those first two games. I think this could be, yeah, OKC in six. So there you go. All right. There's some previews. Love that. Let's do some Yenas right after. Let's say... Oh, what do you reckon? Isaac Humphries? Yeah. After this...
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah nahs. They're brought to you by thedailyliquor.com. If you're in Melbourne under lockdown, only one way to survive that, right? That's by getting some sample Dos Blocos, Dos XPA, or any of the other delicious booze at thedailyliquor.com delivered. And enter the code STRAYA, all caps. You're checking a free sixer of the delicious DOS XPA, which is fucking great. I'm giving you a free beer. How good's that? The Squid and I have already gone for our walk. We were just over in Princess Park before looking at the ducks. I can't leave the house again. I can't do anything more for you. I can't help you move. I can get you some free beer. So use the code STRAYA, all caps, at thedailyliquor.com. I'll give you a free sixer. Thank us later. We love you. That's what we do here. All right, yeah, Nas, we take a bunch of NBA storylines to decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one was reported by Bleacher Report over the weekend. The Nets are going after Greg Popovich, maybe. Should the Nets go after Greg Popovich? Yeah, nah, fuck yes, of course. Every team, every year should be going after Greg Popovich. I don't understand it. He's the best coach ever. Like, what are you doing? Or maybe Phil, but still. Like, all the time. Just every year, just go, Greg, do you want to come? And he's like, nah, I'm good. And he's like, all right, try again next year. He'd be like, all right, cool. Maybe this year he gets sick of fucking Tex-Mex. Maybe he's been to the Alamo enough. Maybe that fucking river just smells and he's like sick of the river walk and the overpriced fucking burger and the giant fucking Diet Coke that we had there that one time. You know? Old mate, me and Larry just hanging out down there by the river walk was fucking gross. Smashing a tin. Old mate got a fucking Diet Coke the size of her fucking torso. It was like $2. Ah, America, I miss it. Apart from now, it's a fucking... Maristan shit show, eh? But anyway, look, every team ever should be going after Pop, and Brooklyn should definitely go after Pop. You know? Because he's fucking amazing. Which leads me into number two. More importantly, is Pop the only coach who could feasibly keep Kyrie and KD in line and in check enough to actually win a title in Brooklyn? Yeah, nah! Oh! I want to say yeah, but really, it's probably not. Look, I think there are just enough situations where if KD comes back super healthy, like 90-95% of what he was, and Kyrie's actually plugged in, they keep Carrots, Jared Allen, etc. Then someone like Ty Lue could easily just sort of walk in, get everybody on the same page enough that KD and Kyrie could get you to the finals and maybe a title. Pop would probably be the only one that I trust to do that, but I think another coach could easily do it. Number three, would Kenny Atkinson, speaking of the Nets, be a good fit in Pelican land? Or anywhere, really? Yeah, nah. Look, this one got asked to me by Boston Pat today, and probably nah. Look, maybe Chicago, but otherwise I think Kenny should maybe wait it out a year because his name will only get bigger after this season as more folks get shit canned. And everyone's like, man, Kenny Atkinson, man. And he becomes the belle of the ball. Whereas this year, you've still got Ty Lue, Jay Kidd, everyone sort of floating around. Kenny might be wise to maybe sit this out. Unless you go, look, probably the best deal is in Pelican land, but I'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, don't know. Next up, can the Blazers really upset the Lakers? Yeah, nah. Look, sorry, Blazer fans. Petty X Pete. Nah, fuck nah. This is one of the weird sort of overblown bits of hype, I think. Everyone's like, man, the Blazers have really got a chance against the Lakers. Their backcourt can score with anybody. It's like, yeah, look, the Lakers have got shitty options to slow down Dame and CJ. But at the same time, have you seen the Blazers wing rotation? They've got Melo, Gary, Terrence, Trent, Darby Jr. And they're playing fucking Super Mario like a million minutes. Wenyan Gabriel, fine, but Super Mario, what are you doing? LeBron, Kuz, man, they're just going to eat them up. Tell you what, even Deion. Jesus. Tough scenes there. Look, it's going to be fun, but the Blazers' defense is shot to bits. Lakers will kill them. Yeah. Next one. Is there a bigger mess right now than the Kings? Again. They're always a mess, aren't they? Yeah, nah. Basketball-wise, yeah, because the Pistons are worse off than the Kings. But at least the Pistons didn't have the blokes in charge of it fucking it up. Only now just leave. After they pass on Luka Doncic and give Buddy Hield 80 mil. Also trading Stauskas and a first rounder away so they could pay Rondo and Kufis and Bellinelli and draft Papagiannis. And yeah. The cupboard in Sacramento isn't bare. Because they've got De'Aaron Fox, they've got Buddy Hill, they've got Bogdan, they've got bags. It's just that the blokes who fucked them, they could be so much better. But they got fucked. Tough saying. All right, unpopular opinion of the day. Let's talk some coaches, shall we?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Just to quickly rank the head coaching vacancies. 1, New Orleans. 2, Chicago. 3, Brooklyn right now. Because, mate, would you want to deal with fucking Kyrie and KD every day? Fuck that noise. Pelicans are an easy number one choice. Young, crazy, talented core. Chicago, look, weird, fun roster, but I reckon that'd be a fun, weird challenge, wouldn't it? I mean, you've got young Al Horford out there. Wendell! You've got Lowry Markkanen, young Dirk. You've got Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine. You've got Chrissy Dunn. Defensive point guard extraordinaire. I think that's, like, you know, kind of weird. Because the thing with Brooklyn is, if you've ever worked anywhere with someone who's all about themselves and everyone else hates, you know it's fucking miserable and coats everything you do with like at least a little bit of shit. It's like going to work every day with a bit of trepidation, like, fuck. I gotta deal with that fuck knuckle again at some point. Just, you know it's inevitable that someday, at some point of the day, you have to talk to that piece of shit. And it fucking sucks. Ugh. And that's what it'll be like coaching Kyrie. And probably KD, for that matter, I'll tell you what. But also, I was having this out with Boston Pat the other day. In terms of Pelicans, and I've just talked shit about him at length, and as much as I think he's a fucking dipshit and a horrible coach, I'm not going to say that Mark Jackson wouldn't be the worst option for the Pelicans. I mean, he might also, he's easily not a good option, but not the worst, because that'd probably be Jason Kidd. But still, Mark Jackson, look, he's about 8 years behind in understanding how basketball's played, which is remarkable considering he's watching it all the time and it's his job. But I mean, shit, think about it. He couldn't get a team with Steph, Clay, and Draymond past the first round. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, obviously that Golden State team really gained from having him as a coach defensively, and having him around to sort of kick some asses. He was a dysfunctional fucking mess, though. But still, this is a young team that needs a kick in the ass, that needs to have an old school defense first kind of mentality. And they're so talented, the Pelicans, that his outdated ass way of coaching might not matter. Like Spindles, Zion, Lonzo, even Josh Hart, Drew, JJ Redick. I mean, they're all going to shoot, and they're not going to like not shoot threes. So maybe it could work. But still, I don't know, man. David Griffin's probably too smart to do that. So, but there you go. Maybe the unpopular opinion of the day is Mark Jackson wouldn't be so bad for New Orleans. Chicago, I don't know. Kenny Atkins would be all right. Adrian Griffin there in Toronto. Where's Unsell Jr.? Old Nuggets assistant. Where's Unsell Jr.? Connor Sovis just came from the Nugs. Connor Sovis actually came from Brooklyn as well, which is where Kenny was. So I reckon there's the top two best there. But anyway, choices for the awards for the bubble for me, for NBA Australia, Monty Williams, Terry Stotts, Jacques Vaughn, the coaches, last place, Alvin Gentry, the all-bubble team, Dame, Booker, Luka, Harden, TJ. That was exactly what mine was. And number two, I had Ja, MPG, Karis LeVert, Giannis, and Zinger. No LeBron. Give me Ja. All-bubble MVP, Dame, Booker, TJ. Easy stuff. All right, let's do a Outback Takeout, shall we? My voice is fucking going. This is tough scenes. I tell you what. It's Monday at Outback. You know what that means? Yes, Davo's hit another fucking emu on the way into work. So, it's now up there on the specials board. That's right, Alice Springs Chicken. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is... The bubble has been great for the NBA. Record scoring numbers. Awesome games. Nothing but good, old, awesome basketball. But now that everyone can go back to fucking, instead of concentrating on shooting, watch the offense and quality of play drop off. That's right, they've gotten to the first stage of bringing in families and fuck buddies. The thing is, when it comes to basketball, you can get your end wet, or your shot wet. Not both. Only at Outback. I am actually fascinated by this concept of, well, you know, the families, girlfriends, wives can now come into the bubble. All these dudes have been concentrating on for the last month and a half has been fucking shooting, kicking ass, taking names, playing basketball to the best of their abilities. You reckon Tyler Hero, with his smoking hot babe, will be sitting there going, well, now I can get 30 on the Indy. Maybe. Maybe not. All right. Let's do really quick Australian Player Watch and the Andrew Gaze Grand Mamba Award right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Australian Player Watch, pretty easy because... We literally had Aussie Matty T, Matisse Thybulle, in action on the weekend against Houston. That was it. He had 18 minutes against Houston off the bench. He's going to go in the starting lineup, perhaps, against Boston. They'll need him. 18 minutes, 7 points, 3 of 4 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3. Pretty good. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. He's unreal. I'll tell you what, he was a plus 36. Unreal. And now he and his Sixers take on Boston. Ryan Rowdy Brockoff still in Dallas, still hanging out with his little man and his missus. So no joining the Sixers yet. And Big Simo Ben Simmons obviously had surgery last week, a week ago today actually. And hopefully we'll hear more about him next week. But in the meantime, Sixers will be without him. Jingling Joe Ingles is the only remaining Aussie as well. He's got Denver first thing tomorrow morning. So keep an eye out for the jingle up. All right, what do we do on Mondays? We do an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for the Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. So let's do that. Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba. Outstanding achievement here. Clap it up, clap it up, clap it up. Yeah, it's an easy one this week because it goes to Dame Lillard. Again. Because we gave it to him in a special edition of the Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba Award on Friday. And then dropped out another 31-10. Against Memphis. 185 points in 4 games to close out a playoff run for the Blazers that they needed to get into the playoffs, rather. absolutely insane. The Grey Mamba bit is bang on too, because he's a fucking savage, his Dame. He goes for the jugular. He's an absolute monster when needed. But my favorite part about Dame time is that he shows up, balls out every single time like clockwork. Drops 51, 61, 42, 31. Drags his team to the playoffs. Dame. That is Andrew Gaze-esque in the extreme. You are this week's winner of the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Good stuff. God, it's been a pleasure watching him too. Can't wait to see him against the Lakers. All right, let's do a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. And we do actually have some Patty Mills tweets, because Patty Mills is unfortunately being knocked out of the playoffs, which is very, very sad. And, you know, it's just basically a little bit of Mark Jones from ESPN tweeting about him, and Patty Mills basically being brought up in terms of San Antonio stuff. There's a great run of photos that went up about him on the weekend too. And I'm excited for Patty Mills. But the best part is we got Jingles and Patty Mills in a photo together with each other's jerseys, just looking great. But the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in this today actually goes into Jinglin' Joe Ingles, because he tweeted out today, or retweeted, David Locke, Mike Conley's left Orlando for the birth of his son. Congrats to the Conleys. And Jingler tweeted out, as he should, 100% support from our whole organization. Being there right now is number one priority. See you soon at Mike Conley 10. Love heart emoji. Ah, Jingles, you absolute legend. Right to that. Good on him. He is our legend, isn't he? Same as Penny Mills. All right, game previews for the first round of the playoffs starting tomorrow, you little ripper.
Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How was the weekend, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, pretty boozy. Hanging out with the squid, tell you what. Squid's awesome. I'm fucking exhausted all the time, though. All right, game previews. They're brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. They're always really good. 3 of 5 we went on the weekend. So for the year, we end up 552 of 976 picks. Pretty bloody good if you ask me. I should do the numbers of, like, if we did $10 on each of them, of those picks throughout the year, what would have happened? Who knows? I don't know. Probably did okay. So we'll also keep a running tab of that, and we'll also do a new one for how we go with the picks in the playoffs. So we have 4 games tomorrow to kick off the playoffs. Get excited. Get stoked. I'm going to be fucking just up and about. Can't wait. Unfortunately, up and about means Jinglin' Joe Ingles at 3:40 in the morning tomorrow, and his Utah Jazz underdogs by 5.5 points against the Denver Nuggets. Now, Denver, every time you turn around and trust them and think, yep, they've got this, they shit the bed and fucking disappoint you. Not tomorrow, though. I'm going to take Denver minus 5.5. As outlined in the preview, I think Denver will pretty handily make short work of Utah. I wouldn't be surprised if Donny Mitchell goes off in this first one. I think Denver will have just enough firepower, though, to cover this by 2 or 3 points. I reckon they've got a 7 or 8 point win in them. And it's at 3:30 tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time in Australia. Jesus, rough as guts. Second game tomorrow at 6 a.m. We have the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Raptors, and the Raptors are 9.5 point favorites. Now, remember, no home court advantage. The Raptors are very good. I am, however, going to take the Nets plus 9.5, because I think that's just maybe a half point or a half off. I think Brooklyn might just have a weird backdoor cover in them. They end up losing by 8. But Toronto cruise to that win. Yeah, give me Brooklyn to the cover, plus 9.5. Philly, Boston, I'm going to take the Celtics minus 5.5 as well. All these lines are very obvious. We think these guys are going to win the series, so it's 5.5 points. Philly, just not going to have the firepower, especially in game one. I feel like there's going to be a bit more of Philly figuring out what Boston can and can't do in game two. They might get that one in a surprise twist. But again, with no home court, you do have to wonder. Boston, 5.5 point favorites against the Sixers team without Simo. I think Boston will click in the first game. I think Philly might surprise them in game two. But give me Boston this one, minus 5.5. And Dallas Clippers, 5.5 again, but this time I'm going to take Dallas. I think they lose this game, but I think they cover. I think this is really, really close. This one's at 11 a.m. The game before it's at 8:30. Give me Dallas plus 5.5. I think Luka might struggle shooting. The extreme zinger meal might get going just a little bit. Dallas might lose it, but I think it's a close game. There you go. What do you reckon? Four games. Playoffs. Bit excited. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. See how we go in the playoffs. What do you reckon? Playoffs. Excited. All right. That's it for today. Woo. Tomorrow, it'll be playoffs. Fucking love the playoffs. And we will be back with all the usual dumbassery, wrapping up those first four games. Should be great fun. Looking at the other games on Wednesday. Should be great. All right. But in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IG. We're all over the socials all the time. You know about that. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Go buy some merch. Buy a hoodie. Buy a t-shirt. Buy a stubby holder. Shit, yeah. Help us out, would you? Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your Android phone. If you can rate and review, it really does help. Come on. I'm not asking for much. Jesus! Anyway, big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, Houseats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now, and it's awesome. Also, big thanks to Joshua Delarena's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ranchak, Alami, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. They can't play shows at the moment. So, help them out. Listen to their shit. Buy some stuff. And we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Dally review as Dally tackles Umbrella Academy Season 2. Good stuff. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, ho! Zaw! Oi, 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 how the fuck is? It's your mate Deli over here, just popping by from the latest pop culture review, eh? And look, I hope yous are all doing right back home in Australia, because, I mean, look, things here in Cleveland have been pretty fucking gross. Like, going for bike rides with the squid, going for swims with the squid, just hanging out with the squid, while not getting the rainer, you know? Life's all right. Like, I mean, sure, it'd be nice to be, like, down there in Orlando and shit with my mates, win another NBA title or whatever, but at the same time, it's also pretty grouse not being at Disney World and sitting at home drinking beers, yelling at the telly while my beloved Maggie's fucking lose again and again. Jesus. Anyway, I mean, it pisses me mate Donnay off because I don't let him watch his Bombers. Fuck him. But, you know, because Donnay still lives in our guest house after getting traded here from Utah and shit. But, and after last week's effort of making theme park rides and just putting a fucking hose down on a tarp and shit, I've just put Donnay back in charge of wetting the slide in the pool and shit. Because that's about as much as I can fucking trust him with, eh? But it's been fun to sit and shit anyway, so it's all good. I mean, to be honest, if it's not packing cones or crushing Fortnite, the bloke's fucking useless, tell you what. But anyway, so your pop culture review for this week. We got the missus into that Umbrella Academy and shit because I was just sitting there looking at Netflix going, I remember that one. And they're like, oh, this is season two. I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. So we smashed through season one the other day. So I get up to speed for season two. And the missus was like, hey, Dally, you dickhead, this is fucking gross. I'm like, oh, yeah, no shit, eh? Then we watch season two, and she's like fucking beside herself about how good it is. And like, no spoils or nothing, but shit, mate, what a season of telly. We smashed in like 2 days and shit. It was fucking great. So if you remember Umbrella Academy, yeah, like seven kids, superpowers, all different and shit. They're all adopted by some old bloke and stuff. And like, shit just goes a bit awry. They do some weird stuff, weird head shit. Like, you know, gets a bit squirrely at the end of season one and stuff. And then this year, they all, like, go back in time, and it's fucking crazy and weird and awesome just about every episode. I'm like, oh, fucking shit, no way! Yes! Like, I love Allison and all the civil rights stuff, and Klaus is a funny fucker. Even Luther's pretty funny in this one, but, yeah, Vanya's a bit of a fucking downer, eh? But anyway, still, no spoilers or nothing. I'm just going to say I loved every fucking minute of this season, and it gets about 34 out of 10 Dally ones. I fucking loved it. So, yeah, for mine, it's really good. So go get around it and tell me how much you loved it, eh? Look, just love how it plays with the power dynamics of families and secret societies and really shines a light on civil rights and stuff. It really makes you think, you know? All right, so there you go. That's it for me this week. Go smash that Umbrella Academy Season 2, and I'll catch us next week for another pop culture review. Later, fuckos. Dally out.